your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Just win.
Your team
just
every
win.
Day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a raider. Pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
What up, Raider Nation? Welcome into Tuesday's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast, September 29th, 2020. Your boy Q here with you. You know you can find me on Twitter at your boy Q254, as many of you do. Also got the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line for you. If you got a text message you want to send or you want to call and leave a message, you can. 707-654-4693. Got to shout out Pepsi as a big sponsor of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment or overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league. That's the League of Football Watchers. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch. I like to watch the game by myself, you know, just with a couple of family members around me, the wife, you know, maybe a couple of children at best. Just watch the game and just kind of soak it all in. Don't like to do a lot of Twitter or texting during the game. I just like to lock in and watch it. But I do like to watch it with Pepsi. It's a refreshment you need to power through any game day, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch the game. Pepsi, made for football watching. Right now, you can go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. Coming up on today's show in segment number 3, I got your calls. I got your texts. Locked On Raider Podcast voicemail line, I gave you the number a little bit earlier. It's 707-654-4693. Feel free to lock that into your phone. Write it down. Do what you got to do. Just make sure you have it handy at all times, anytime you feel like calling. Or like I said, you could even send a text message. It's the same number, 707-654-4693. Also in segment number 3, I got a couple tweets. I had a couple people hit me up by way of direct message. And again, you can do that at your boy Q254. That's my personal Twitter account. And that's how you can send me a message. And I'll try my best to get it onto the show. So I got a couple of those coming up as well. Segment number 2, going to talk about the defense. Something that I've heard a lot of people talking about. I've been hearing the fire Paul Gunther. I've been hearing that got to go get Wade Phillips, or you got to go get this player, or go call Earl Thomas, or maybe call Eric Reed. Been hearing a lot of complaints about the defense. And I talked about the defense and what they were able to do in the first half of the game. I talked about that on Monday, but let's take a deeper dive. Let's also look around the league, look at some trends around the league. So we'll talk all things defense, Raiders defense, coming up in segment number 2. And then here in segment number 1, I'll give you the news and the notes of the day, as I always do. Also want to shout out to the radio station in Utah. They actually had me on Monday afternoon, and right after I got off of Raider Nation Radio, about 30 minutes later, I was able to hop on that radio station. So I thought that was pretty cool. And that was the Zone Sports Network, 97.5 FM and 1280 AM in Utah. I think it's in Salt Lake City. Obviously, I've never been there, so I don't really know. But anyway, they're a Utah Jazz flagship station, and then they're affiliate of the Raiders. And apparently, they want to have me on every week, or they're going to have me on like every other week. And then they're going to have Scott Goldbranson on every once in a while as well. So looks like I picked up another radio station to be on, so that's pretty cool. So anyway, shout out to the folks there in Utah for having me on Monday afternoon. But let's go ahead and get to the news and the notes of the day. The Raiders, as far as roster moves go, they signed wide receiver Robert Davis to the practice squad. He was a former Georgia State football player, former wide receiver there at Georgia State. He signed with the Raiders on the practice squad. Not really a whole lot to write home about when it comes to Robert Davis. I don't know if that means that Henry Ruggs and Brian Edwards are going to be out a little bit longer than I anticipated for the Raiders, and they needed to go ahead and make another move. But either way, a wide receiver is now on the practice squad in the form of Robert Davis, the former Georgia State wide receiver. As far as the game went on Sunday, the Raiders 36-20 lost to the Patriots. I gave you a lot of numbers on Monday following the game, but I also want to go ahead and give you some numbers that I didn't give you on Monday, like the defensive snap counts. A lot of people are wondering, why isn't this guy playing more? How many snaps did this guy have? So let me go through the defensive snap counts. This comes from my guy Anthony Galaviz on Twitter. He's from the Fresno Bee. Corey Littleton had 69 snaps. Nicholas Morrow, his linebacking partner, he also had 69 snaps. Jonathan Abram, he was out there with 60 snaps. You look at Harris. You look at Eric Harris, his safety partner. He had 59 snaps. Trayvon Mullen, 55. Damon Arnett, 52. Clee Ferrell, 46. LaMarcus Joyner had 45. Jonathan Hankins, 43. Max Crosby had 42. Malik Collins, 40. Nevin Lawson, 36. Hurst, Mo Hurst, that is, 30. Arden Key at 27. Carl Nassib, 27. Daniel Ross at 21. Heath at 19. That's Jeff Heath. He's a safety and a special teams dude. Raekwon McMillan also had 19. So there you go. Those are the guys defensively that were out there. Corey Littleton didn't have his best day. He's definitely got to step up. I think Nicholas Morrow is earning his extra play time as he's filling in for Nick Kwiatkowski. He's doing a good job. Jonathan Abram, I mentioned it on Monday, did not have a very good game. Eric Harris, kind of feel like he's a liability. He's just not athletic enough to clean up any kind of messes that may be left behind by Jonathan Abram. I think Trayvon Mullen had a really good game, even though Hondo Carpenter from SportsIllustrated.com, the Raider maven, he said that Trayvon Mullen had a really bad game. And I was like, wait, hold on. In coverage, he was great. And so he was talking about his run support. And I mean, I can go back and look at the film and see how he did. But I think everyone on the Raiders struggled as far as you know, the run defense goes. But Trayvon Mullen was really good in pass defense. Matter of fact, Pro Football Focus, 92.7 coverage grade. He was second among cornerbacks in week three. He allowed one catch for 8 yards on four targets. He added four pass breakups and a 39.6 passer rating when targeted. So for your defensive back, I'll take that every day of the week and twice on Sunday. I think Trayvon Mullen is really starting to show his worth. So I really liked what he was able to do. He was out there on 55 snaps. Damon Arnett, he's a gamer, man. 52 snaps, and you know he's going through injury. Was dealing with somewhat of a hamstring injury and his wrist injury. Clee Farrell, he showed up in a major way early in the game, especially. Later in the game, I don't think anyone really showed up. LaMarcus Joyner, he's playing better than a lot of people want to give him credit for. I think his tackling has become a lot better. He's doing more. He's not doing the best. I think he could still probably be better if he was at the safety position. But for what he's being asked to do, I think he's doing a pretty decent job. Jonathan Hankins is kind of like Mo Collins right now. They're no-shows. Max Crosby, he showed up and had a good game on Sunday. Mo Collins, just mentioned him. He's been a no-show. Nevin Lawson, 36 snaps. You know, he filled in. He came in for Damon Arnett for a few snaps and then also got some special team snaps and got in defensively as well. And, you know, that versatility that John Gruden talked about for a long time is paying off right there for Nevin Lawson, who got out there 36 snaps. Mo Hurst, 30 snaps. He's been playing well. I like Mo Hurst. I think he needs to get a little bit more snaps. He needs to get those 43 snaps that Hankins is getting and replace Hankins with Hurst. You know, maybe give Hankins 30 snaps and Hurst 43. He's playing really well. Arden Key, he played decent. He just played okay. He had a nice little knockdown. Really stopped a big play from happening by batting the ball down on a screen pass. Carl Nassib, he's done okay. Daniel Ross has really been a no-show. Jeff Heath, again, that's mainly special teams. And Raekwon McMillan hasn't done too much of anything. But those are the numbers as far as just how many snaps defensively the Raiders had. Wanted to go ahead and play a little bit of audio from John Gruden. He had a media session on Monday, and just going to go over the hot topics real quick. You can go listen to the whole thing at Raiders.com. They have the whole conference call or media session. But here's John Gruden on if he thinks Trent Brown or Nick Kwiatkowski can return this week.
I'm hoping so, Jerry. I am hoping so. But as you know, some of these injuries are hard to be exact on in terms of the timetable, so we'll keep our fingers crossed. Both men are improving, and we need them back in the lineup. We are missing a number of key ingredients to the stew right now, and those are two big guys that we need back.
So I know that Raider Nation is angry at Trent Brown because he's only been out there for three snaps so far in 2020, but when Trent Brown's out there, the offensive line is better. Denzel Good has been doing a fairly good job filling in for him, but he's a guard. He's not a left tackle or right tackle, excuse me, and Trent Brown needs to be out there. He's getting a massive paycheck. He needs to go out there and get his massive body out there and be blocking, but right now he just can't go, you know, and so hopefully he's back on Sunday, but only time will tell. Nick Kwiatkowski, I don't even think I have to speak on him. He's obviously a major piece missing. But again, back to Nicholas Morrow, he's been doing a good job filling in for him while he's while he's been out. Sticking with the injury theme, John Gruden was asked about both Bryan Edwards and Henry Ruggs, the wide receivers, the rookie wide receivers. Edwards went out of the game on Sunday. Ruggs didn't participate in the game. Does he have an injury update on either one of those guys?
No, we've got a number of guys that are still being evaluated. Vic, we didn't get back until late last night, so you know, we are concerned about both those guys, but I'll remain confident until otherwise noticed.
So I know he didn't really give an answer, a real lengthy answer. It was only about 10 to 15 seconds. But, man, I'll tell you, I don't have a good feeling on that. Just based off that, I'll stay optimistic. We're concerned about him. We'll stay optimistic until told otherwise. That doesn't give me a good feeling. And that's no inside information. That's just gut feeling. You know, it's just like, doesn't sound too positive. I saw where Bryan Edwards was actually in a walking boot leaving the facility on Monday, which is not good. Sounds like he's got a high ankle sprain at best. You know what I mean? It could be worse than that, but that could be a major issue. I think Bryan Edwards is going to be a heck of a player, but they definitely need him out there and participating. If he ain't out there, again, going back to your best abilities, availability, you ain't available, then you can't be your best. So, yeah, we'll continue to monitor the health of Trent Brown, Nick Witkowski, Henry Ruggs, and, of course, Bryan Edwards. Now, one guy who's been getting a lot of criticism early on in the season, Malik Collins. He was a big, or not a big free agent get, but he was a free agent get from the Cowboys. They got him on a one-year deal. John Gruden gave him a captain's name or a captain's patch on his jersey. Also said that he's the key to the Raiders defense. Well, he hasn't done too much of anything so far this season. So John Gruden was asked about the play of Malik Collins so far this season. What are his thoughts?
That's funny. Malik and I just had a meeting. You know, he's going to play better. I think he's trying to do too much right now. I think he's trying his best. I really like his effort. We expect a lot more, obviously, and I'm confident we'll get that from him. Our defense played extremely well in the first half. Disappointed in the outcome of the game and particularly some of the big runs that hit us in the second half. But Malik Collins can play better, and he will play better.
So there he goes talking about Malik Collins, and it's funny he said you asked about him, we just had a meeting. So I look at that as a come to Jesus meeting. I think that Malik Collins has just been underwhelming. He hasn't done what the Raiders brought him in to do. Him and Rod Marinelli are supposed to be teamed up to really, you know, be able to provide that extra edge that the Raiders defensive line needs. And well, Malik Collins is just, he hasn't held up to his end of the bargain. I think the defensive line played better on Sunday. I think that you saw them playing a lot faster, so I think Rob Marinelli's doing his job, but I don't think that Malik Collins is doing his job, and I think a lot of it has to do with pressure. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that Gruden, you know, gave him a captain's patch on his jersey, called him the key to the defense. I think that kind of put a little extra pressure that he didn't have when he was in Dallas. In Dallas, he was just Malik Collins. He was just another player, and he was out there balling. So I think he just needs to get it out of his mind, and this is something that we'll talk about in segment number two, where you kind of get stuff out of your mind, you stop thinking, and you start playing. If you play, you're much faster. A thinking man is what? A slow man. Absolutely. So the final little nugget here, a little soundbite from John Gruden in his media session that he had on Monday is about the upcoming team. You know, it's at some point you stop thinking about the loss on Sunday and you start focusing on the upcoming game. So here's John Gruden on what he's seeing from Buffalo so far this season.
I think number one, their head coach, McDermott, has done a great job. And Brandon Bean, the general manager, have done a nice job putting together a good young football team. After that, the quarterback is eye-opening. He is a fun guy to watch, man. He can really throw the ball. He's got a great playing style. He's got a lot of John Elway playing style. He can scramble. He's strong. He's tough. He's a big-time player. And they've got an arsenal around him with the acquisition of Diggs from the Vikings. John Brown, they got some guys that can really run. And on defense, they have a collection of players. They're very active up front. They do a good job of blitzing, and they do a nice job of disguising their looks. And it's no fluke that they're 3-0 and a playoff team.
So John Gruden gives a lot of credit to Sean McDermott, the head coach. And look, he's got them to buy in. They're absolutely playing the way that Sean McDermott wants them. I mean, he was the defensive coordinator there in Carolina when they went to the Super Bowl. So he knows what a winning team looks like. And right now, Buffalo has a damn good team. Josh Allen is playing some good ball. A lot of people, or not a lot of people, there's some media members calling him the MVP type guy. I'm not buying that just yet. I think Russell Wilson is the hands down MVP of the league right now. But Josh Allen's playing good ball. When your team is 3-0, you could be in those conversations. So the Raiders are going to have their hands cut out for them on Sunday at Allegiant Stadium, taking on the 3-0 Buffalo Bills, but not a game that they can't win at all. So, matter of fact, I have a good idea, and I know on Friday is when I usually do these predictions. I have a good idea that they're going to win this game on Sunday. I'll just go ahead and put it out there right now. I know it's only Tuesday, but it is what it is. So that's what I got for you for segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast, news and notes of the day. Coming up is segment number two, going to specifically talk about the defense, going to talk about some trends around the league, going to talk about how I see this defense growing and how they can get better quick, fast, and in a hurry. And that's something that they need to do. Before I get into that, though, I want to tell you about rockauto.com. And I've told you many times before that they're a family business serving auto part customers online for 20 years. How do you find them? rockauto.com. That's how you shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. And they got everything. engine control modules. They got brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil. They got new carpet. I mean, whatever you need, large or small, they got it. It don't matter if your car is one of those that you roll out of the garage every once in a while. I actually had some people tweet me pictures of their classic cars that they got in the garage, and they roll out on Sunday afternoon after a Raiders victory. You know, it's like a victory lap. You want to go and maybe go on down and get you some ice cream from the corner shop. You know what I mean? So you ride that out, put your lady in the car with you, you turn on some tunes, and you'd be good to go. I sounded like 80. I was about 80 years old when I said that, huh? But it's all good. Don't even worry about it, because that's what happens when you have a classic car. You start feeling yourself a little bit. Either way, rockauto.com has all the parts you may need, and it's just a few quick, easy clicks away, and it's delivered directly to your door. Again, rockauto.com. You can see all the parts available for your car. You can choose the brands, specifications, and most importantly, the prices you prefer. That's right, the prices. They're always super low, and they're the exact same for professionals as it is for do-it-yourselfers. I always tell you about my homeboy, Paul, and he's got his own shop. Yeah, he can go and get auto parts for a certain price. Guess what? I can get auto parts for the same damn price by going to rockauto.com. No need to spend up to twice as much for the same parts. Again, rockauto.com. See all the parts available for your car or truck. While you're there, the only thing I ask you to do, I don't ask you to spend a certain amount of money or anything. Just write in the little box, how'd you hear about us? Locked On Raiders podcast. They'll know I'm doing my job and I'm good to go. Great selection, super low prices, all the parts your car is ever going to need from rockauto.com. Segment number two is on the way.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we go. Segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Time to talk about the Raiders defense, something that a lot of Raider fans are up in arms about, up angry, mad, fire Paul Gunther, bring in these guys, go get this free agent, call Earl Thomas. Look, I mean, you got who you got right now. You know, the season's going, unless you're bringing up a guy off the practice squad, unless you're bringing in a Javon White, which I'll tell you right now, as much as I'm rooting for him, he's not going to change the difference of the defense right now. The defense is one of those work in progress. It's one of those things that we've been talking about. I know in particular, I've been talking about for quite a while that it's going to take a while for them to get on the same page and all gel. You got a lot of young guys and you got a lot of free agents that are in there. So they brought in a lot of new parts because they know that the defense is the Achilles heel. They know that the defense has to get better. Raider Nation, they've played three games. Three games and they're 2-1 and everyone's ready just to jump off the cliff and say, oh my God, this defense stinks. Look, the defense did some good things on Sunday. I mentioned it on Monday that the offense just didn't compliment them. But let me just go to specifics. You know, let's start with the defensive line. The defensive line looked a lot faster. And what I mean by that is you could see Max Crosby getting off the snap a lot quicker than he was the first couple weeks. You could see Cleve Farrell getting into the backfield a little quicker than he did the first couple weeks. And you know what? Sometimes, every once in a while, their speed coming off the line of scrimmage actually played against them, because then the Patriots were able to bounce the ball outside while they were running up the field. I talked about that contain. I talked about it in great length on Friday when I said that's the way to beat them. Well, sometimes they ran themselves out of the play because they were so far, they were going so quickly off the line of scrimmage and just getting after the quarterback, going so far up the field for against the quarterback, that they you know, ran themselves out of the play. So, I mean, they've got to have discipline, but you can see it's starting to click. When they go faster than they normally go, that's because they're starting to understand the scheme. I had someone hit me up and say, well, is Paul Gunther the problem? Is his scheme too complex? I don't think it's too complex. I just think that it's a lot of guys trying to get on the same page and try to learn the assignments, their own assignments and each other's. You know, one of the things that John Gruden, I didn't play it in segment number one, but a couple things that John Gruden said is, hey, you know, we had guys in the right places. They just didn't make the play. Or there was guys that lined up in the wrong position. That happens. Sometimes when guys are trying to make a play and they're trying to press, they line up in the right wrong spot. And then you see the coaches on the sideline trying to yell and scream to them. But, I mean, at some point in an NFL game, you can't always adjust them before the ball gets snapped. And so they may line up in the wrong gap, and they're a gap assignment team. So they've got to be, you know, lining up in the right gap. So, yeah, that's an error on themselves. That's not necessarily on the coaching staff. That's on guys not making plays. You know, I mentioned Trayvon Mullen and what his Pro Football Focus numbers were. They were excellent. Again, 92.7 coverage grade, second among cornerbacks in week three. 39.6 passer rating when targeted. He had four pass breakups. He only allowed one catch for 8 yards on four targets. So what I'm saying with Trayvon Mullen is he's slowly but surely becoming I don't even want to say a lockdown guy, but he's definitely a defensive back number one for the Raiders, you know? And they're going to go after Damon Arnett because he's a rookie. So they're going to see what he's made of. But what I see from Damon Arnett is a guy who has no memory and a guy who's ready to just get in there and lay the wood on somebody. A guy who is committed to tackling, a guy who's committed to chasing down plays. And if he gets beat, he's going to forget about it and get back out there and be ready to go. The guy has that it factor in him. And as he learns the position, he's going to be a lot better. Jonathan Abram, Raider Nation has been singing his praises for the first 2 weeks of the season. He comes up with a big interception on week three against the Patriots. And look, that play was not just thrown directly to him. He could have gone after Cam Newton and tried to drill him and get him on the ground like he tries to drill everybody else. Instead, he saw Cam getting ready to release the ball. And instead of going after him, he fell back and stayed there in coverage. And the ball ended up right there in his lap. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to take it to the house. If he could have took it to the house, that's a different story. The Raiders only come up with a field goal. You know, that was a missed opportunity. And then the rest of the game, he was out there trying to lay the wood and try to knock everybody out, where he's got to learn that that's what he cannot do that. He's got to sometimes just try to tackle a guy, just try to get him to the ground. You know, he's got to wrap up. He tries to go in there shoulder first and just lay someone out, where he's just got to wrap up and get a guy to the ground. I mentioned LaMarcus Joyner earlier. I think he's done a better job tackling, something that John Gruden called him out for. Hey, he's got to be a better tackler. He's done a good job with that. I'm not gonna ride his helmet too bad for what he's been doing, because, again, I think that his tackling has been pretty good. I still personally, just me personally, like him better as a safety, but that's not happening. That's not where they're going to put him. They're going to keep him at that that slot position, and he's going to have to do the best he can. Maybe when Amik Robertson is ready to come in and take over that slot, maybe they then move him back to the safety position, but clearly Amik's not ready to, because Amik hasn't been on the field yet. So it's a guy that Raider Nation is waiting to see and see what he could bring to the table. But I just think that this is something that you're going to see these guys get better. Again, they played a very good first half, and if they had played the offense as well as they played defense, they would have scored a ton of points. I mean, I'm not gonna say blow out the Patriots, but they would have been on top of them in a major way, especially with the fact that they had deferred and they were getting the ball to start the second half. So, they could have easily done what they had done against New Orleans on Monday, you know. But the other thing I wanted to talk about as far as defense goes, Raider Nation, look around the defense in the NFL in general. Who's playing good defense? Who's playing lights out defense right now? Even the teams that play lights out defense aren't playing lights out defense. Look what Cam and the Patriots did to the Seahawks the week before. Cam Newton threw for 497 yards, damn near 500 yards against the Seahawks, who have traditionally a really good defense, pass defense. You know, they're not the Legion of Boom anymore, but they still hang their hat on defense in the run game, and Cam Newton just went off. Did he go off against the Raiders? No. He threw for less than 200 yards. Less than 200 yards. Just going to go ahead and leave that out there. And ran for what, 27 yards? Cam Newton didn't do that well, and he said he didn't do that well. Look what the Cowboys did to the Seahawks on Sunday. Dak Prescott threw for 475 yards. 475, another damn near 500-yard performance. Let me go around the league real quick for you. The Dolphins, they put up 31 points on the Jaguars on Thursday night. The Bears, they put up 30 points on the Falcons. The Rams and Bills both scored over 30 points. The Bills won that game 35-32. Do you sense a theme here? The Browns, 34-20 over Washington. The Titans and Vikings, 31-30. The Titans topped that game. Again, do you sense a theme here that I'm saying? All these games are over 30 points. The Patriots, they put up 36 on the Raiders. Okay. The 49ers with a skeleton crew. I mean, a lot of their guys are injured. They put up 36 on the Giants. The Bengals and Eagles tied at 23. If one team had found a way to score a touchdown, guess what? That's 30. The Steelers and Texans, Steelers got 28. They topped them 28-21. That's damn near 30. The Colts topped the Jets 36-7. That's clearly 30. The Panthers and Chargers, they were the lowest scoring game of the week, 21-16. The Panthers topped the Chargers. The Lions beat the Cardinals 26-23. Buccaneers got 28 on the Broncos. And the Cowboys, and the Seahawks and Cowboys 38-31. I mean, do you understand what I'm saying? Nobody in the league's playing defense right now. Defenses are not shining in the NFL right now. It is an offensive league, and in 2020, it's really offensive. Everybody's scoring 30-something points. So when the Raiders are giving up 30 points a game, fine. They're still 2-1. The only problem is on Sunday, they didn't hold up their end of the bargain as far as the offense goes. So you can get as upset as you want to. You can say that Paul Gunther needs to be fired. Who are you going to replace him with? Rod Marinelli? He hasn't mastered the defensive line yet. Like, I'd rather him concentrate on the defensive line and do really well there before you say, okay, now, by the way, I want you to CEO the rest of the defense. No, one thing at a time, man. It's week three, going into week four now. You got a tough opponent in the Buffalo Bills. They're going to need to get some pressure on Josh Allen. Oh, he's a guy that runs the ball as well. Just similar to Cam Newton. Don't be surprised if they put up 30 points or close to 30 points. Just saying. I mean, it's a possibility. The difference is what the Raiders need to do is what they did in the first couple games. And I've said this, and you know, I got called out for it. No, I didn't get called out. That's false. It was called out that a lot of people are saying, well, the Raiders defense is making plays, which is good enough to keep them in games and help them win. That is true. That is absolutely true. And I've said that multiple times. That's why I said I got called out, because I know I was one of the guys that said that. They have made plays. Week one against the Panthers, big fourth down stop. They also came up with multiple three and outs where they gave the Raiders the ball in good field position. Hunter Renfrow was able to make a good play on special teams, get some good field position. Against the Saints, big interception right before halftime. They put 3 points on the board, tied the game up. You know, they had an interception against the Patriots. They just didn't hold up their end of the bargain. You know, again, 1-for-4 in the red zone. That's not going to cut it, especially against the Patriots. Against a bad team, you might get away with that. Probably not, but you might. But against the Patriots, you're not going to get away with that. I don't care if Cam Newton's the quarterback. I don't care if Jarrett Stidham's the quarterback. I don't care if you're the quarterback. You are probably going to win that game if you're a Patriots quarterback or a Patriots team and the team you're playing is 1-for-4 in the red zone. You've got to score touchdowns. You've got to make that happen. But again, I think they're getting better. I think you're going to see Max Crosby continue to evolve. I think you're going to see Clee Ferrell continue to evolve. I'd like to see Mo Hurst get a little bit more run. Again, I mentioned it in segment number one. He only had 30 snaps on Sunday. Maybe that's part of conditioning. Maybe that's just, you know, what the staff is seeing and that they want to see more out of Hankins and want to see more out of Malik Collins. I don't know, but I would like to see Mo Hurst get some more snaps. Daniel Ross, I know he's a guy. He's a Rod Marinelli guy, but he's not doing anything. You know, I think Raekwon McMillan could be used because he's a sure tackler. They're going to need that. But for the most part, man, they're getting better. Corey Littleton, I know a lot of people are down on him. He's going to get better, in my opinion. He's going to get better. And I don't think he's been playing that bad. I know he's not Pro Football Focus ranked very high. I know he's been struggling as far as their numbers go, but I don't think he's done as bad as what a lot of people think. But either way, it's just a work in progress. See what they do against Buffalo. See what they do against Kansas City week five. And then they go into the bye week. Maybe they could be healthy by the coming out of the bye week. And they still got the rest of the season to go. I mean, you're so early into the season. I definitely wouldn't hit the panic button. I sure wouldn't hit the panic button as far as the defense goes just yet. I think it's something that they got to work themselves into. And I think it's something that we talked about here on the podcast multiple times. Don't get too caught up in what you see early on from the defense. Don't get too down, because it's only going to get better. Or at least I believe it's only going to get better. So that's all I got for you for segment number two. Just wanted to riff on the defense a little bit and the growth of the defense. And not only the growth of the defense, but the trend across the league when it comes to defense. Coming up in segment number three, your calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. That's the number. Plus, I got a couple tweets at your boy Q254. Had a couple direct messages sent to me, so I want to bring that to you as well. Before I get into that, though, I want to tell you about Built Bar and what you can find on BuiltBar.com. And what that is a lot of flavors of protein bars. And they're not nasty flavors. They're not cardboard type flavors. They're not sandpaper type flavors. They're actually a protein bar that's good for you that tastes like a candy bar. And not only do they have the 12 original flavors, I was a big fan of the toffee almond, the coconut, the peanut butter brownie. I thought it tasted like a Reezy. Not only do they have those 12, but they got 6 new ones. You know, apple almond crisp. They got carrot cake. I'm a fan of carrot cake in general. Love me some carrot cake. Lemon almond cheesecake. Cherry Barcia, cookies and cream, caramel brownie. I mean, they got some massive flavors that you can go try. And again, they're really good for you. They're covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew. But if you're like me, you might prefer to put them in the fridge and like them even better that way. That's really what I do when I get my hands on some Built Bars. They sent us a bunch of them to begin with when we first started talking about them months ago. They haven't sent me any new ones since. I guess that's okay. I'm not going to hold it against them, but either way you can, I would like them to send me some cookies and cream just so I could try them. That's one of my favorite flavors. I can't even drink milkshakes. Like, I'm lactose. So you know what that means, you know, it's just all bad, but I'm a sucker for a cookies and cream milkshake. So if the protein bar cookies and cream taste anything like a cookies and cream milkshake, I'd be good to go. But I don't know because I haven't tried it yet. So anyway, I'm just shouting you out, Built Bar. Feel free to send your boy some so I can try them. Just going to go ahead and throw it out there. But if you want to go ahead and try, maybe that's the flavor you want. You can try it and then let me know. Go to BuiltBar.com, BuiltBar.com that is. Use the promo code LOCKEDON and you'll actually get $10 off your next order. So I'm hooking you up. I've always been known to have a coupon. Well, that's the coupon I got for you. Promo code LOCKEDON. You're going to get $10 off your next order at BuiltBar.com. Segment number three is on the way.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Here we go, Raider Nation. Segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. It is time to hear from you. It's your time to shine. Your calls and texts, Locked On Podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. And of course, if you send me a direct message on Twitter, it's at your boy Q254. That's the area code where I'm at in Central Texas, 254. Some people ask me that all the time. Like, what's 254 stand for? That's what it stands for, man. It's my area code. You know what I'm saying? Like, 707, that's the area code. Well, 254, that's my area code. Anyway, just thought I'd pass that along. So that's my Twitter. Let's go ahead and start off with a tweet from at YoungKingKV. He said, just wanted to say, for a struggling defense, that's clearly the weak point for the Raiders. We tend to always see the bad, which is warranted. Let's give a little love to some guys making plays and give an effort. Most notably, Nick Morrow was flying around and doing big things, and he's an absolute backup for a reason. Just love to see it. Not to mention, Mullen, Abram, and Arnett all miss a lot of plays, but the ones they do make show some promise that they'll be all right. They are first and second year guys. So needless to say, defense needs to be better, but these dudes ain't scrubs and seem to be progressing. Let's not act like we've been building this for several years. You're dealing with rookies. Again, that's from at YoungKingKV. And again, if you listen to anything I said in segment number two, you understand that I basically said the same thing. I just kind of broke it down into a little bit more detail. I think Trayvon Mullen is playing really well. Jonathan Abram is playing really well outside of week number three. Outside of that interception after that, he just kind of fell off. But again, that's coming back to discipline and him just wrapping up instead of trying to take everyone's head off every time. And Damon Arnett, I think he's going to be a dog. I can't wait till Arnett and Mullen are really good at the same time. Ha, look out, Jack. They're going to be able to play. So thank you so much for that tweet. I appreciate you. Next up is a call from Hillbilly Raider calling in to talk about the game, really the good and the bad of the game. Here he is, Hillbilly Raider.
Hugh, Hillbilly Raider here. Immediate thoughts following the game. Everyone's probably gonna, you know, do what they do, quick to jump the gun, hate on what they normally hate on, whatever. But the game was not as bad as the score indicated. Defense, though, was over 250 rushing yards from the Patriots. However, they did contain Cam Newton pretty well. Farrell had a big game with containing him and not giving anything up on the run pass options. Max had a big game. Mullen had a big game. Arnett's tough as nails. Abram had the worst game of his young career. You can really tell that shoulder's really bothering him. He missed so many tackles that he normally would at least try on. So, but considering we don't have depth anymore, we're literally depleted. I don't think there's an option for him not to play, not to mention our receivers. When a team's depleted, it really shows coaching. And, adjustments need to be made. Our offense still didn't move the ball too bad other than obviously making their mistakes early on the game. I mean, we really, to me, I think we just beat ourselves. But that's a big improvement because that's against Bill Belichick. But we beat ourselves early. I think that's a huge step. So everyone's going to call out all these different things, whether it's Carr like usual, which, by the way, he moved out of the pocket and moved well. You can only do so much when you have your lineman getting pancaked. It really showed good today. Denzel good, by the way. Really showed he's not a tackle. So, yeah, that line's really hurting now. But good takeaways. I don't think we're not far away. On defense, we have a bunch of good individual performances. Now we just need to get it together. Gunther, once again, terrible play calling. And I think to keep going back to play calling, we have the players, but why are they running these terrible plays? You know what I'm saying? So it's going back to play calling. So for some reason, they could run to the outside the whole game, and there was nothing adjusted. Literally just ran to the outside. All they cared about, the Raiders that was stopping the inside. I don't know. I'm not a coach. All I'm knowing is there was no adjusting.
There he is, Hillbilly Raider right there. And, you know, I think you're spot on as far as the Raiders absolutely beat themselves. I mean, in the game, 3 fumbles, missed field goal, penalties, and a lot of injuries. And look, it wasn't a whole lot of penalties, only 6 for 40 yards. It's just the timing of them. You know, Derek Carr had a 1st and goal when he threw the ball to Derek Carrier, but it got called back because Denzel Good was an ineligible lineman down the field, you know, so he got just too far out because it took too long to develop. That was a 1st and goal opportunity that ended up getting wiped away, and the Raiders didn't get in the end zone. They had to settle for a field goal in that play. So they shot themselves in the foot multiple times. I don't think Gunther was that bad. I think it was more execution than anything. That's kind of my biggest takeaway from that. But thank you so much. It's always good to hear from you, my man. Next up is a text. And before I get to the text, I got to sound the alarm one time. This text is from Tom, and he's a noob booty. And it's funny. He tried to keep it on the low and didn't tell me that he was a new booty, so I had to do some investigating. And I've had to do that a little bit lately. Had to investigate some of these that I was like, man, I don't recognize this one. So I'm going to act like, remember Tom from, what was it? Tom from MySpace? Was it MySpace that Tom was on? He was the, where he had his, your top like 16 friends. I'm going to consider this dude Tom from MySpace just because, well, his name is just Tom. That's it. Anyway, he says, Carr, since he broke his leg as a game manager, worst version of Alex Smith. I'd happily have Alex Smith right now, and 2 teams moved on from him. Top-level quarterbacks make plays when the plays break down. It was great to see Carr run 5 yards for the 1st down. There was more chances to keep drive alive and double-clutch multiple times. I'd take an interception if he'd at least try to throw a 40- to 50-yard pass on 3rd down. If it gets picked, it's like a punt anyway. In 3 games, he has 7 passes of 25 or more yards, and he could throw a nice deep ball. Again, that's from Tom, I believe, is a new booty. I know one Tom, who was actually my very first caller here on the Locked On Raiders podcast 3 seasons ago when I first started in 2018. I don't think that's him. I think that's a new Tom. So if it's the original Tom, my bad. I take back everything new booty. If not, then it's Tom from MySpace. Either way, I don't know if he's the worst version of Alex Smith. I think Alex Smith is a pretty decent quarterback. Now, of course, the Chiefs moved off from him because they got a dynamic dude in Patrick Mahomes. I hate to death what happened to Alex Smith. I hate that for any quarterback, what happened to him in Washington. Hopefully he gets back on the field and is able to do something. I think Carr is a good quarterback. Is he great and elite? No. But I think he's a good quarterback. And what you're talking about is keeping plays alive with his feet. I've been asking him to do that forever. And he did a little bit of it on Sunday. I was actually kind of happy that he was able to move around with his feet. But it just, you know, it's not a whole lot. It's just as simple as that. So either way, I understand exactly where you're coming from. Next up is a tweet from John Maffei, at John Maffei. He says, hey, can you address why Corey Littleton has been so underwhelming on the pod? Gracias. Yeah, I mean, you know, according to Pro Football Focus, he's the worst graded defensive player on the Raiders roster the first 2 games, and then he had another rough day on Sunday. I don't see it as bad as Pro Football Focus put it, but I understand where people are coming from. They want to see a playmaker. They want to see a guy out there just really dominating, and he hasn't been that dude yet. So I don't think it's all that bad for Corey Littleton. I think he's done a decent job, but I know he needs to play better. And especially with the money that he's making, he absolutely needs to make, or yeah, needs to be making more plays. So we'll see what happens, but definitely appreciate the tweet. Next up is a call. And before I get into that call, I better sound the alarm one time. This call is from Rob Job Raider out in Hawaii. That's right, Rob Job Raider. He's calling in with a reaction to Sunday's game versus the Patriots, and he wants to point out the biggest issues in his mind. Here he is, Rob Job Raider, a new booty, calling up out of Hawaii. Go on, it's your dime and your time, Rob.
Here, boy Q, this is Robert, Rob Job Raider out of Hawaii. Just finished the game here on Sunday against the Patriots. I'll tell you what, that was very disappointing. It's very hard to see the defense out there on the field for so long. You know, then the offense finally gets back on the field and they go 3-and-out. You know, the thing with Carr is I really like him as a quarterback sometimes. I mean, when plays open up for him, he'll hit those plays. But when plays break down and we're not running the ball, he's in the pocket and the play doesn't work out, he has nowhere to go. Can't scramble, he can't run, and he'll just throw the ball away, or he'll get sacked. And we saw a lot of that today. it's very frustrating when the defense is clicking, the offense isn't. And when the offense is clicking, the defense isn't. You know, the defense came out in the first half, and I thought they did an unbelievable job holding the Patriots. You know, but when the offense needs to produce, they're not. And I really wanted them in this transition to Vegas to get a quarterback that they could get under Carr to learn some things that could scramble for those yards when the play breaks down. You can see it with the Patriots when the play broke down, that huge run that Cam had that basically put the game away. You know, that was 20-something yards, but nobody was open, so he scrambled. And he got the job done, and it kept the play alive. It kept the drive alive. They ended up scoring on that play, and it put the game to rest, and that was it. So with Gruden and these upcoming years and this brand-new stadium and unbelievable facility with a good team, you know, we need to start prepping somebody that can get the job done. I think Carr is maxed out. I hope I'm wrong. We'll see with the season. But when plays break down, so does he, and that's very frustrating. Just win, baby. Been a Raider fan my whole entire life after my pop. Learned it all from him. We'll be okay. Got to adjust. Just some thoughts on the game. Robert Fram from Raider Nation, Hawaii. Aloha.
Love it, love it, love it right there, man. A call from my guy, Rob Job Raider, calling out of Hawaii. One day I'm going to get there, brother. That's on the bucket list. Me and the wife are going to go to Hawaii and chill out and hang out and kick it. I'm going to call you up and be like, what up, dog? I bet you everyone always says that, huh? Like, hey, man, when I come to Hawaii, I'm going to hit you up. Anyway, that sounds really cool. I'm going to get there one day. Me and the wife are going to take a trip to Hawaii, and we're just going to kick it and chill and have a good time. But anyway, thank you for your call. Welcome to the Locked On Raider Podcast family, my man. I appreciate you. And, yeah, the Raiders have some issues that, you know, the Raiders defense has showed. And they showed that they've got to get better at, and they have a chance to get better, I do believe, and I think they will get better. Like I said, in segment number two, went into great detail about how I think they're going to get better. But yeah, there's some warts there, no doubt about it. Derek Carr is who he is. We've talked about it for quite a while. I agree with you about a guy that making plays with his legs when they're there. I've been screaming from the mountaintops for that. I've also been screaming from the mountaintops that the Raiders need to go and draft a guy and groom him under Carr. It hasn't happened, though. I thought that that was going to be something that they did this year. They didn't do it. I think good organizations draft quarterbacks all the time and have them sit. Either they end up being their guy or they end up trading them off for more draft capital because quarterbacks are such a necessity in the NFL. Again, the Philadelphia Eagles, I think that they made a good move. They just gave Carson Wentz $100-something million, and they still went and drafted Jalen Hurts in the second round. And now, look, all the people in Philadelphia are calling for him because, well, Carson Wentz hasn't won a game yet, and he's thrown 6 interceptions already. Just hasn't looked that good. And I'm not saying Jalen Hurts is the answer. I just think he would have been a good type guy to groom underneath a guy like Derek Carr, whether he's going to be the future quarterback or not. He just has that want to get out there and you know, be a contributor to the team one way, one how, some form. That was my whole point from the get-go when it came to Jalen Hurts. But at some point, I think the Raiders need to go ahead and make a call and try to groom somebody. I don't think Nate Peterman, even though some people say he is, I don't think Nate Peterman's the answer. I don't think Marcus Mariota is a long-term answer. I don't think anyone behind Derek Carr is a long-term answer. And I know a lot of Raider Nation still, the jury is out on Derek Carr. I think the league is moving in a direction where guys do need to be more agile and be able to move a little bit better with their legs. Look who's coming to town this week, Josh Allen. He's not, you know, he's not fleet of foot. He's not LaMarcus. He's not Lamar Jackson. He's not Russell Wilson. He's not any of those cats, but he can still keep plays alive with his legs, man. He absolutely can. Dak Prescott, you know, he's not a guy who just runs around the yard, but he can make some moves with his legs if he has to. Kyler Murray, obviously he's a different animal, but yeah, I think that the league is trending in that direction. Deshaun Watson, look what he could do with his legs. Those are extreme guys, but there's other guys that are just good at keeping plays alive, giving themselves a chance. Even Big Ben, he's never been fleet of foot, but he is always able to keep plays alive with his leg. So, I mean, it is what it is. Thank you, though, for that call. Definitely appreciate you. And that's all I got time for on today's show. Had another call from Toontastic Raider. I'll get that on Wednesday's show. And we'll get a lot more calls, texts, tweets. We'll also get some news and notes of the day. Hopefully, we'll find out something about Henry Ruggs and Bryan Edwards to see how they're progressing. And we'll get into some more deeper conversation because that's what we do around here on the Locked On Raiders podcast. One more time, want to shout out to the folks in Utah that had me on the radio on Monday afternoon. I thought that that was really cool. I enjoyed it. I look forward to the next time being on the Zone Sports Network. That's a 97.5 FM and 1280 AM in Utah. Hopefully, you know, they have me on again, and I appreciate that. So until next time, Raider Nation, take care of yourselves. Wash your hands. Do what you got to do. Wear your mask. Take care of your loved ones. And most importantly, just win, baby.